and I'm going to cut off a branch or a twig at the top of the cedar tree. Anybody have any idea that's going to grow? A little twig off the top of the cedar tree? Well, let's see what it says. I will crop off from the top of his young twigs a tender one, and will plant it upon a high mountain and eminent. In the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs and bear fruit, and be a goodly cedar. And under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing. In the shadow of the branches thereof shall they dwell. With that scripture as a background, I think I'm going to talk more than I'm going to preach tonight, because I want to talk to you as a pastor. As the twig is bent. Now, how can you see to it, how did the writer see to it that this twig became a goodly tree? Bible says he took it when it was young, a young twig, a tender one, and planted it. Now, that is a type of our children. While they're tender, a young twig, as the twig is bent, if you please, so grows the tree. You start the twig in one little bending direction, and it grows in that direction as long as it lives. Our Catholic friends have said for years, you give me a child that is 7 and you can have him, he'll never be anything but a Catholic. What they're saying is, as the twig is bent. So, take a young twig, a tender one. What are you supposed to do? Plant it where? On a high mountain, way up on a high spot. Not down with the weeds, way up on a high spot, close to the sun, and an eminent place. In the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs and bear fruit. That's what we want for our children, is it not? We want them to be a blessing. We want them to bear fruit. We want them to be the very best that they can be for God and for right. And be a goodly cedar. Notice, a fruitful cedar, a goodly cedar, a protecting cedar, all because it was planted on the high place as a young twig, as a tender plant. I've tried every way I know, and I mean this, I've tried every way I know to help you rear your children in these 13 years. I stood over here behind the pulpit of the church building that burned, the old auditorium, 12 years ago, this month. In fact, what is today? July what? 16th. Did you know it was on July 13, 1960, when the church took a vote to try to expel me as the pastor after I've been here for almost a year? It's been just 3 days over 12 years. We had a meeting the Wednesday night before the vote, and I stood behind the pulpit, and I was under fire from opposition. And people said, you're a conviction. You don't believe in girls wearing shorts in public. And I don't, or slacks either, for that matter. And they said, you're narrow-minded. What are you going to do about the young people's program? And I said, you give me a generation, and I'll show you. Now, I've had that generation, and I rest my case. This past June, the children graduated from high school who started the kindergarten the month after I became pastor of this church. You won't find in America as many clean, separated, cultured, refined, dedicated, soul-winning teenagers in any 10 churches in the world that you'll find here. I mean, add them all up. Add the best 10 besides this. And you won't find as many clean, dedicated, patriotic, soul-winning teenagers as you'll find in First Baptist Church Hamlin. These kids that graduated this year started the kindergarten a month after I became pastor. David, for example, started the kindergarten at Munster School System a month after I became your pastor. I can still see him standing in the corner. I go get him in the afternoon, waiting for me to come. Like that. Do cutest little thumb sucker you ever saw in your life. Now he doesn't suck his thumb near as much as he did. Almost has a tear. I believe we have the finest program to offer kids at any church in the world. As far as I know, we're one of the few churches, not the only church in the entire world, where you can take your child this year at the age of 2, put him in the Hammond Baptist Beginner School. That's the daycare center where he'll be taught. When he graduates from there, he'll go to the Hammond Baptist Grade School or Baptist City Grade School. And there he'll be taught. When he graduates from there, he goes into the Hammond Baptist Junior High High School in Baptist City. When he graduates from there, he goes to Hiles Anderson College. When he graduates from there, he goes to Senior Citizens Apartment. That's for abandoned children and a few slow people. But anyway, what I'm saying is we have tried and we are trying to take care of our kids. Now, folks, let me say this. I've tried every way I know how. And I'm not trying to get a bunch of students. God knows that's true. It would be dishonest and crooked for me to try to persuade anybody to go to any of our schools because we want the tuition money. I'd quit the school business before I stooped that low. I mean that. But I want your kids to turn out right. And I know a little bit about turning out kids. And I have tried to lead this church into a program where we can turn out our kids to be what they ought to be. I wish I knew what to do to talk you into sending your kids to the Christian schools. I've preached at you. I've scolded you. I've hollered. I've screamed. I've cried. I've begged. I just don't know what to do now to get the rest of you. I'm not trying to get students. I'm not. The honest truth is, most of us, many of us on the staff, are paying the tuition for students ourselves. In fact, there's several students that we see to it. They get to go. We help pay their tuition. We're not trying to make any money. But dear Lord knows this is true, and if you don't know it, then you ought to know it, because he'll tell you if you'll ask him. That as unselfishly as a person could be, I'm beseeching and pleading with you to get your children in our schools. I don't mean to be unkind tonight. I've been unkind sometimes on this, and I don't think it's wrong to be unkind when you smack at the devil. But I don't mean tonight to do a rabble-rousing, though I think rabble-rousing is certainly in order when you're preaching for righteousness and against wrong. But I'm going to say again what I've said before, and I say it at the risk of making a lot of you mad. But our schools are gone. Now, they're gone. They're just gone. Well, you say we're going to try to salvage them. And every hell, I dare you to show me one college or one public school system that's ever turned around and gone toward righteousness after going toward unrighteousness. I dare you. I dare you. I mean, in the history of the world, I dare you. As you say in Texas, I double dog dare you. I dare you. It's against every... Listen, you can no more cause the public school system to be salvaged than you can cause yourself to be 10 years younger. No more. Why? Because what man touches has the touch of death on it. Man's institutions are like man's body. They are gradually decaying. My buddy, 45 years of age, 46 years of age, September 25th. Write it down. September 25th. Write it down. Take notes on these important points. But anyway, I'll be 46 this September 25th. September 25th, I'll be 46. That's September 25th. That's the 25th of September. You look very carefully tonight, you'll notice that I got something on I didn't have 13 years ago. You look very carefully. I got something off that I had 13 years ago. I don't comb my hair anymore. I place it. I only have two hairs, and they're woven all over my head, just like that. That's two more than some of you folks got there laughing, I tell you for sure. But anyway, this body is decaying. There's no way to keep it from it. Everything that man touches has the touch of death on it. Man's institutions have to die. There's no way in the world you can turn around the decaying process. Dr. Streeter has given his life trying to help people who are sick, and I believe God's going to use him as one of the finest Christian doctors of our day. And I, by the way, he's going to have an office at Baptist City and help us at Baptist City. And I said we're setting up a doctor's office with equipment and waiting rooms and everything right there in one of the buildings. But he's given his life to trying to help people be well. But Doc, there's one thing you can't do. You can't stop the death process. It's set in. I have in my office a juicer. Before I came to the pulpit this morning, I had two glasses of carrot juice. And yet, in spite of that fact, when I combed my hair this afternoon, still the comb was full of hair. In spite of the fact that I had two glasses of carrot juice before I preached this morning, had to take my glasses on to be able to read. My eyes are perfectly normal. My arms have shrunk a great deal. But I'm decaying. You are too. You said, well, you ain't what you were 13 years ago. I'm as near as what you are to what you were when I came. We're decaying. Our bodies decay. And what man touches decays. I say again, show me a college. Show me one college in America that was ever fundamental, that became liberal, and turned back and became fundamental again. Show me one. You say, we're going to salvage the school system. While you're doing it, would you mind draining the ocean with a teacup? You'll get the ocean drained faster. No, you're not going to salvage it. You're not going to salvage it. There's nowhere in the world. Decay is inevitable. Inevitable. I say it. I've said this before. I'll say it again. The day will come when the Hiles Anderson College will not believe this book. Well, you say, what can we do? The same thing Dr. Streeter does to a body. He knows every patient he has is going to die. Does he just give up? It's okay, drop dead? You better not. I'm one of his patients. But no. What's he trying to do? He's trying to postpone death. The other day I was hearing a newscast, and it said if you were born in 1922, it's time for you to die. Well, good night. That's 4 years before I was born. Said life expectancy in 1922 was 50 years for a man. Now it's 69 for a man. I got 24 more years. But tonight I better hurry. Unlike that fellow down in Texas that bought that clock, grandfather's clock, big tall clock, and he left to wake up and hear it go off. He liked to hear it bong, you know. And one night he woke up and it went bong, 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 10 bongs, 11 bongs, 12 bongs, 13 bongs. He jumped out of bed and got up and said, "No, wake up! It ain't never been as late as it is tonight." And it ain't never been as late as it is tonight. Never has been as late as it is tonight. Now what am I saying? All this I'm saying to say that decay is inevitable. You can go to the Hammond High School down here. Turn me up just a trifle, fellas, would you? Just a little bit. I want to sort of focus it tonight. And you hear me? Good. And you go to whatever state that Hammond High School is in tonight, it's not going to turn around and go back. It's not. Whatever state Hammond Tech is in tonight, it's not. They're not going to have a revival this week at Hammond Tech. In fact, I'm not going to speak on chapel down there this week either. I'm too busy. But they're not going to invite me. Now, you say, well, you're attacking our schools. Not one-tenth as much as our schools attack the First Baptist Church of Hammond. I'm not attacking anything. In fact, I'm trying to get God's people to rear their kids in the way that they ought to be reared. You see, here's what's happening. You moms and dads, and I'm talking to you tonight as your pastor now. I'm trying in other ways to try to get your kids to turn out right. And I mean this, not a selfish bone in my body tonight about this. But you're judging the public school system by the way it was when you were there. But it's not like that anymore. It's not that way. I'm going to say this. It is a hotbed of communism. It is a hotbed of narcotics. It is a hotbed of profanity and vulgarity. Did you know that when you and I were in school, you had to buy at a liquor store what you can get in the public school system now just around the corner? You know, they put a fellow so far in prison that he's probably still in the foundation, pouring the concrete, they're found in the marijuana at Adamson High School, where I went to school years when I was, I graduated in 1943. Now then, 50% of our, in fact, most any high school kid can show you where to find marijuana at most any high school in the area. No way to stop it. No way to stop it. Teachers, Mr. Students, how many of you young people have heard your teacher use, I mean, a dirty four-letter word? I'm not talking about the A-M-N now. I'm talking about a sexy four-letter word. How many of you heard a teacher use it in the school system? Would you raise your hand, please? Look at there. Yeah, I'm talking about what you and I saw written on the sidewalks and restrooms. These kids over here, they've heard their teachers use it. Now, you're going to either have to change your moral standards or get your kids in a Christian school, one or the other. There's no other alternative. Well, yes, sir, you're far away from the world, and the world goes to the devil. The world's been for the devil all the time. God never did call us to whitewash the world. God called us to get folks born again. Well, you say, how are you going to win them if you don't go to their schools? Ask the folks that won 3,300 and some odd the other day how you win them. You go out where they are in parks, knock on doors, house to house, witness to them. Listen, all these people in Hammond are talking about, Hiles is drawing his crowd out of the public school system. Yeah, he won't influence, he won't win souls that way. Shoot. Our kids win more souls than all that crowd put together. The answer is not for merging. The answer is for separation. The Bible's always said, come ye out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. God never has been for merging his people with a heathen crowd. Never has been. God hasn't changed since the Old Testament days. God hasn't changed since 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. God's the same he always was. Mr. Jackson's been in this area for years trying to reach the boys and girls, the little children, youth for Christ. I mean, child evangelism. Only to see most of them, Mr. Jackson, go off to some school that shakes their faith in everything you've tried to teach them. Now, we need somebody to have some child evangelism 7 days a week. All the time, you see. Now, we're fortunate here at First Baptist Church. Very fortunate. We have a program now where you can enroll your child at the age of two. I mean, the age of two. And have him taught decency, the Bible, manners, courtesy, the age of two. I mean, when the twig is fresh, as the Bible says, while it's tender, plant it, let it get root. When? While it's tender, that's the time to do it. And then that child can graduate 20 years later with a BA degree from Hammond Baptist, from Hiles Anderson College. Now we have that. We have that. As the twig is bent. Now here's what Satan does. I want to show you tonight. I'm just going to present my case again another way. I've got a color book tonight. And the fellow who gave me this, if he gets in any trouble, I assure you, the brother that gave me this, if you get in any trouble at all, I'll stand by you. And if you lose your job over this, I'll get you another job, I promise you. But I got a color book tonight. I want you, three of them, I want you to see them. Now this is printed in the city of Hammond for little boys and girls, a color book. Now I want the choir to verify, and you folks to verify what I'm going to show you tonight. I'm going to show you some things. This is not high school. All of us know about the sensitive training in high school. All of us know about the dirty four-letter words in high school. All of us know about the narcotics in the high school. I'm talking tonight about color books for pre-kindergarten kids. Here's a book called Sylvie Sunflower. Well, let's look at Sylvie Sunflower. It has, my name is Sylvie Sunflower. This is where I live. In four domes in a beautiful forest near a creek that flows into the sea. Well, let's see her mother and father. Let's see what Sylvie Sunflower's mother and father look like. Her mother and father. The father has long hair. And they're barefoot. They're hippies, if you please. Like the revolutionary crowd. Both of them barefoot, father has long hair and a beard. And, well, and all her friends, and all our friends. And they have the friends here. And all of them, look at them. All of them, long hair, hippies, and beard. This is a color book for your little two-year-old children. Printed right here in the city of Hammond for worldwide distribution. Let's go a step further. Oh, well, except David, who lives by himself down to the creek. I want you to know she has a friend named David who lives down by himself down to the creek. Mr. Bordway, what does David have on, Mr. Bordway? Let's see if you can quit tonight breaking the whole thing. Mr. Bordway, this is her friend David. What does he have on?
Nothing.
Nothing. Has on his birthday suit, doesn't he? That's her friend David. That's a color book. Naked. See, choir? That's her friend David. Little girl. Little Sylvie Sunflower. Color book. Naked. There he is. Long hair, beard. Not a stitch of clothing on. Force the color of that kind of garbage. Now I'm getting mean where I wanted to get while I go. Saul makes good bread on Tuesdays. It grinds the flour and the wheat berries and so forth, and he has nothing on down to the waist. And then he goes on over and has other things, and oh, today we're helping Robert, my dad, to plant corn seeds in rows. Rainbow ties string above each row we plant. And now the little Sylvie Sunflower is working with her dad, and I'm helping Robert, comma, my dad.
Oh, calling her dad by his first name.
Huh, that's interesting. We're helping Robert, my dad. Notice the lack of respect for dad. Let's see how the little children are dressed and how the dad is dressed. Let's see, choir. What do they have on? Here they are out planting. Oh, they're out planting a crop. The little girl has nothing on. Older girl has nothing on. And dad is stark naked. Color book, printed here at Hammond for worldwide distribution. Color book. Now you say, when our kids get to high school, they're going to go to Hammond Baptist schools. You're an idiot. You better get your kid in Hammond Baptist beginner school when he's 2 years old, and you better get him in Hammond Baptist grade school. If you got to pawn your watch or sell your car or get rid of your television set or walk to work, you better get a bicycle. You get your... Listen, this world is not going to get any better. Not. There it is, a color book. Do you see what this is? This is nothing but a child's Playboy magazine. That's all the world is. A children's Playboy magazine. Well, let's go on and see what this precious little color book has for our boys and girls. Oh, isn't this very interesting? After work, everybody takes a sauna. Is it sauna or sauna? Sauna bath. I never have taken a bath, and I don't know what they are. First, we sweat in the hot steam. Well, let's see here. Mr. Bordway, come up here a minute, would you please, and let's just see what we have here. It's hard to tell whether these are males or females, the hair up here. Let's see. What do they have on? We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, what? How many clothes on those people?
None.
Oh, none. Thank you, sir. We got male and female, naked! Naked! Everybody takes a bath together. What's that encouraging? Public bathing. After work, everybody takes a sauna bath. First, we sweat in hot steam. Then we swim in the cold stream. Lotus washes my hair. It feels good. Now, you got two ladies and a little child. And notice what they have on. That's a color book, choir. That's a color book. Printed in Hammond for worldwide distribution. Can you see it? Coloring book. They'll be sold all across America.
boys and girls in our schools. Here is naked mixed bathing, naked family bathing, naked working. That's just one of them. It just so happened I have another one I want to show you too, since you're interested. Oh, you say, well, when my kid gets 13, I'm going to put my kid in Hammond Baptist High School because of the sins in the high school. Brother, the minute your child sets foot in the public school, he is tempted immeasurably. And by the time he's in high school, he's too already too ready. It's hard to get him out then. I know. We have parents right now that want to send their kids to Hammond Baptist High School, but they don't have enough authority over their kids, and the kids won't go. And now it's too late. Well, let's see. Here's one called Happy Day, Cried the Rainbow Lady Full of Light, a book to color by Alicia Bay Laurel. Let's see what's in this beautiful little book. Oh, here's an angel here. And another one. And here's some pretty pictures. Oh, here's someone looking at the sunset. Choir, what do they have on? What does she have on? Or he, whichever it is. Huh? Nothing. Just completely naked. Well, I wish you'd know. Oh, let's go on this lovely little color book that our children are asked to color, and let's see what else we find. Oh, here's a person sitting, a lady, a female, sitting out beneath the sun or moon and smelling some flowers, and all her clothes are on the paddock beside her, and she's stark naked. A color book. Isn't that precious? The same philosophy that prints this book is teaching your kid in most of our schools. Get mad and change churches if you want to, but you're doing it because the tribe will help you. And you won't face the music. Or you won't face it. You better go ahead and send your kid to a God America's built up. There's no God that whose feet we worship as much as we do the heathen public school system. We're doing our best to save your kids. In God's name, help us do it. Oh, but I saved the best one for last. Well, this is such a nice, nice... Here's one called Families, The Family of Families, a book of the color by Alicia Bay Laurel. Well, this is wonderful. Oh, here are two kittens, two leopards, or some kind of feline animals, and they're together, and it's about families. And so let's see what we find here. Here's a family of little chickens. Mother chicken, and father chicken, and little chick. Isn't that sweet? And here's a family of cats. Tom cat, mama cat, and little kittens. Isn't that sweet? Here's a family of dogs. And I'll just give you sire, B-I-T-C-H, and puppies. Reckon they're trying to get people to say son of a B-I-T-C-H, you think, maybe? And here's a family of horses. And here's a family of geese. And here's a family of fish. Family of fish and a family of ducks. By the way, it was a quack that wrote this book. And here's a family of sheep. And here's a lion, a family of lions. And a family of whales. And a colony of sponges. And a swarm of bees. And a meadow of grass. And a family of trees. Oh, here's a human family. All decked out a human family. How do you like that part? Yeah, that's it. Well, let me just show you if you'd like to see it from out there. Maybe you can see what your boys and girls have to face. Color book. Here's a family. A family. And you'll forgive me. I'm going to be very frank here, and some of you may get mad, but you do, because I'm trying to help you. There are two adults, two males, and two females in this picture. The breasts of one female are both showing. The sex organ of the little boy is showing in the picture. A children's color book! Alicia Bay Laurel is going to answer to God and burn in hell unless she repents and gets right with God and gets saved over such garbage as this. Not only that, but the company in Hammond that printed this garbage. And you parents are going to stand judgment because you let your kids be exposed to such stuff as this. Now, here it is. You'll forgive me. I'll just go ahead and say it. But here it is. Nudity, parents and children. Two adults, two men, two females, four children, all of them naked.
Now, you'll forgive me, but somebody's got to color the breasts of these ladies. It's teaching nudity for parents and children, and the Bible plainly forbids that children should not see their parents in the nude. It's unscriptural. It's wicked. God is not pleased about it. And it also is giving communal living, you see, two men, two women, naked, four little naked children, communal living. That's communism. This book is as communist as Moscow. A family of people. Men, women, notice it doesn't say man, woman, and children. Men, a family. What's in a family? Men, women, children, communal nudity. That's it. And even the pubic hair is shown in this picture. Now, this wasn't printed in Riverside, California. This was printed in Hammond, Indiana, for nationwide distribution. Sex organ show, communal living, and so forth. Well, let's go over here and let's see. Oh, well, isn't this nice? This is a family of all families, all animals and plants. And so we have all, we have plants, we have the sea, we have the stars, and then we have a male and a female together. It looks like they're courting out here. And notice what they have on here. They're naked. A couple. Looks like they're on a date, leaning up against a rock out in the woods. What do they have on? Nothing. Nudity. This is not for high school, ladies and gentlemen. This is for boys and girls that are being cared for in our nursery right now. That's it. Now, the system... The system of the public school system. Now, you bear in mind this, brother, I don't make a lot of friends when I talk to a preach like this. But I'm not trying. And I'll tell you what, I'll be glad for everybody in Hammond to hate me if I can save your kids. Now, some of you parents say, well, I just don't believe you. You take your kids out of the world, and how can you influence the world? What you're really saying is you're too much of a tightwad to pay the tuition. I'm going to say something that a lot of you are going to be shocked at. If I had a child, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the right age to watch it, my child would never set his eyes on Sesame Street. Never. There's not a thing in America that's influencing the future generation for wrong as much as Sesame Street is. He said, I don't believe that. Well, you just believe what you want to believe, but you wait and see, brother. You wait and see. Sesame Street, covering books like this, are recommended in all of our schools. Well, let me show you a little poem from one of our children's schools. Here's Yankee Doodle. This is the Yankee Doodle that's sung in our schools, some of our schools around here. I wish I could sing it. Yankee Doodle came to town. H bombs in his pocket, says, chum, if you don't toe the line, I'll blast you with a rocket. Here's the chorus. Yankee Doodle, Uncle Sam, Batman, also Superman, known from here to Vietnam as Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee Doodle went to Mars, landed on a Sunday, found some people living there and killed them off by Monday. Yankee Doodle went to work as hard as he was able, bombing schools and hospitals and infants in the cradle. It's an amazing thing to me. I wonder why some of these rascals are always talking about us bombing folks in Vietnam. I wonder why they don't talk about their communist dead fellows down in Cuba that are killing all the fundamental Christians all the time. Why they talk about all the folks that are killed, the Christian people in China. Why they talk about the communists, the dirty communists, the Jews they killed. Why they talk about the millions and millions of believers that have been murdered at the hands of wicked vile communism. Why don't we talk about that a little bit? Here we are trying to defend America and defend freedom. Brother, their problem is not they're against killing. They're against us killing communists. They don't mind Mr. Castro killing all the preachers and folks in Cuba. This is, by the way, this is a poem a song that's been sung in schools in this area. Yankee Doodle got a plan. It's called defoliation. Tried it out in Vietnam to civilize the nation. Yankee Doodle, he's the boy for rape, assault, and pillage.
never lets the day go by without he burns a village. Yankee Doodle never crosses over any border except to kill more people in the name of law and order. Yankee Doodle, he is brave, a bold and gallant fighter. He's great at burning people's houses with his lighter.
By the way, burning, the communists do a pretty good job burning banks and shopping centers and Watts and other places too.
Yankee Doodle feels that he is not appreciated. He's generous with his napalm, and yet somehow he's hated. Yankee Doodle's got the know-how. Death is what he teaches. And as he kills, dear Mr. Wilson, murmurs little speeches.
That's being sung in our school. What is it? It's anti-Americanism. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised in America, in our schools. Many of you would. If you wouldn't be surprised, you'd have your kid in the Christian school, but you'd be surprised. If you knew the way they're treating George Washington and Paul Revere and the heroes of our nation, you would be shocked if you realized that your child is not being taught patriotism anymore. Your child is being taught revolution.
I mean, right here in our schools. Right here!
You should go to the house.
Why the grade school?
Well, the grade school more than the high school.
The start is so important. I can recall days when it's been now 10 years ago, I guess. It was 12 years ago. Dave's little tyke. I took him out trick-or-treating on Halloween night, and I can still see him on Shriver Drive, about the 81 or 8200 block. Dave went up, knocked on the door, and he said, "Trick-or-tweet." And I was out in the car, you know, I was wanting him to get a whole lot to last us for the whole year, you know. And we sat out there lurching in the shadows, you know, waiting for him to come back and see if it's some Hershey bar so we can eat it. And so I was out waiting for David to come back with the loot, you know. He walked up, he said, "Trick-or-tweet." And I watched him. And he held his hands out. The lady put something in his hand. He looked at it. Handed it back to her. She gave it to him again. He looked at it. Gave it back to her. He came back out, and I said, "Dave, what was that?" He said it was cigarettes, candy cigarettes. And he said, "Well, what'd you tell her?" I said, "My daddy won't let me have them." And his daddy won't let him have them. My boy's not going to have cigarettes if they're milk chocolate almonds. I don't eat them all! No, it's not. No, it's not. By the way, you start at that age, and you don't have to worry about a smoking cigarette until you get 18. The other day I was driving by Hammond Tech, coming to church in the morning. I come to church about the time the kids are getting to school. I get here usually in the morning about 7:40, I guess. So I decided to pull over and stop and just watch the burlesque show. And brother, that's what it is. I'll tell you what I saw. I saw one female with a midriff. A midriff. I mean, her pants were just about to fall off. Trousers, her blue jeans, just barely hanging up. Barely. I mean, if it hadn't been for my prayers, they'd have fallen off. Believe me, I was praying too. And then she had a halter on, and she was halting most of the boys that came by. She was walking to school, class, with a midriff. I mean, with everything here down here showing. Now, on me, that's a heap. But on her, it was vile and wicked. I just sat on watch. Here came a female. She had on blue jeans that were sawed off way up here, made hot pants out of them. Very hot pants, very hot. And she had taken the blue jeans and cut them off about here, and then she had frayed about 2 inches up like this. Now, if you look very carefully, you could see things you're not supposed to see. In fact, you could even if you have shorts on. But frayed. And she was going to school. And all she had on her feet was a piece of wood underneath and one strap between two toes. She was barefooted. She's going to school.
Now, if that's what you want your boy to have to look at all day long, don't you be surprised when your boy goes sensual and goes to the devil and gets some girl pregnant. I've been along with an old brother. You hear me now. I've been long enough to know that the kids that do not heed what I've been preaching through these years, 90% of them don't turn out too much. And if you don't believe what I say, I'll challenge you to take a poll with me, and you find the kids that heed what Brother Howes preaches and compare those to those parents. And it's not the kids. Most of the kids that do it, it's the mom and dad who say, well, he's not going to let our kids. Oh, my soul, how foolish. Then I sat down and watched at least that many girls walk in that school. Now I'm going to be very frank. I know they didn't have any undergarments on. They couldn't have. By the way, that's the fad nowadays. No undergarments. 20 years ago at a burlesque show, you couldn't have seen as much as you saw at Hammond Tech. Now, Hammond Tech is the place where the principal tried to hold the line for a while, but the parents wouldn't let him. How many of you know, I won't go into this, but you know as well as I know, you're not going to turn that thing around. You are never going to make those people put on clothes again. Never. Young man told me, told me that he only had one teacher at Hammond High that didn't use the dirtiest four-letter word, starts with an F and ends with a K, the dirtiest four-letter word in class, only one teacher that taught him at Hammond High. And he said, that isn't all, he said he only had one class where the students didn't use the same kind of language back to the teacher. You say, well, we're going to make it better. Oh, you are. Would you like to know how you're going to make it better when they're feeding the next year's faculty from Berkeley and University of Michigan and Ann Arbor and all the rest of these communist hotbeds? Where are you going to get your teachers? Where are you going to get your teachers to make Hammond High better? Bob Jones University? Huh? You think that Hammond Tech is scouting Tennessee Temple for teachers for next year? You wait. It won't be 5 years till marijuana is legal in this country and the fight be led with the school teachers. Don't believe me, do you? Okay, go ahead. Every high schooler in this room that goes to a public school can tell you where to get narcotics within at least 2 blocks of the school and usually on the campus. You're not going to change it. You're not going to change it. A nation is not going to turn back. A school is not going to turn back. The only institution that has promised divine perpetuity is the local New Testament church. There's only one institution in this world that you can salvage that's gone bad, and that's the church. A liberal church can be salvaged if it ever was a real church, but the right man and the right leadership, but not a school and not a nation. Now, you sit with the house. Why grade school? Say, why grade school? Because it's hard to transplant. Children right here, right now, in this room. I talked to a boy this morning after the service, and I said, are you going to go to Hammond Baptist High School this year? And he said, I don't know yet. And he's fighting a battle in his soul. Why? Because his roots are so deep in the public school system. And so some won't go. They've got their friends in a lifetime. You're not going to put a kid, 90% of our kids, you're not going to put them in a school and they'll get their friends. Right over here, a school less than a mile from where I'm standing right now. The mother told me in her living room, she said, Pastor Hyatt, my daughter, less than 14 years of age, and her sister's here tonight in this room, she said, my daughter runs home from school every day because some boys are trying to rape her, and they say they're going to rape her, and she has to run for her life every day to keep being raped. That's a middle school. That's a middle school. She said she called the principal and complained, and the principal said, what can I do? The Supreme Court's tied my hands. There's nothing you can do unless you get your kids in a decent Christian school. Nothing. I don't know what to do. I've hollered at you. I've cried. I've begged. I've pleaded. I'm not asking for a thing for myself. I didn't want to start schools. But for your sake, you know I'm a reproach in most of the areas in this town. You know that's true. I have become a reproach, honestly, no joke, in many areas for your kids' sake. Now, there's no need to kid ourselves. The public school system is the cosmos. Now look, for years I said, let's pick it up. Let's try to help it. It's not gone yet. But brother, when it's gone, we may as well face it. We just may as well face it. We're going to have to educate our own kids, and that's all there is to it. We're going to have to do it. And that's why we're bringing the best young men and women and people from all over this country to this church so we can try to turn our kids out right. And I say again, there's no need for your kid to turn out bad anymore. None at all. None at all. Your child can go to Hammond Baptist Grade School down here, or Baptist City Grade School, and you know it's the truth. When he's in the hallway, he can't talk. He eats lunch with manners. He pledges allegiance to the flag. Watch a ball game sometime when the national anthem is sung, and look how people yawn, laugh, make fun. See how many sing. See how many respect the flag. 75% of all the teachers turned out by state universities tonight are anti-American. They're for intermarriage of the races. They're for a one race, one government, one world, one sex world, which is the Tower of Babel all over again. If our kids turn out decent, we're going to have to do it on purpose. He said, I came to visit you tonight, and I'll never come back again. That's why I'm letting you have it. I was afraid you might not. And I want your kid to turn out right. If what's happened in American education had happened all of a sudden, we'd have lynched the principals. Did you hear what I said? If our schools 15 years ago, now listen, if our schools 15 years ago, if you could have gone to school 15 years ago, and then the next day, our schools be like they are today, we'd lynch the principals and the school boards. The devil's old trick is changing so gradual that nobody notices it unless they're spiritual people. Brother, we're in trouble. Listen to this. Here's a letter. A certain school in this area, students requested to bring rock and roll and jazz records to be played in class. That's English class. I mean, no English lesson. Rock and roll records were brought and played them during English class. Here's another. 55-minute 8th grade math class every Friday was a play day. Chess and cards. They play it. That's math class. Also in English class every Friday, a Reed Scope magazine day. Every issue was sure to have a lot about rock and roll groups and the Beatles. Very often, we're often glorified as well as other unsavory characters. Here's a game they play in one of the schools in the area called Ghetto, which embraces such terms as cheating, dope pushing, gambling, murder, and prostitution, and making a joke of illegitimate children, disobedience to God, and abuse of oneself. A game they're playing one of our schools. Compare it with this. This is from one of our ladies in our church. I won't read it all. Preacher, I cannot. I count you as a real friend. I do count you as a real friend. Thank you for so and so and so on. I don't know what our family would be without you. You have made my life so happy and full. If it weren't for your preaching, I'd probably be even sorrier than I already am. That's really sorry. And my husband and I are very happy and so forth. Talk about the two children, two little girls. They think you are great, too. The other day, one of our girls, I think she's about 6 or 7, she said, quote, Mom, how am I going to have time to be a missionary, a preacher's wife, and a soul winner? Most churches don't produce 6-year-olds who think about spiritual things like that. So my family's happiness is largely dependent upon you. Thank you for being what we all need. I love you and the Lord, and I'm honored to be a little part of the work here. That's the difference. That's the difference. I don't know what I'm going to have to do. I don't know. All I'm asking you to do is help me save your kid. That's all I'm asking you to do. That's all. Open sex. New morality.
Used to, 20 years ago, all we had to worry about was evolution. I can recall barking loud and long against evolution.
Well, now, brother, I'd settle for a bunch of evolutors if it just be decent. Now it's all kinds of indecency. From the day they walk in kindergarten and color a naked, two naked families all together, and naked bathing and naked swimming, and the sex organs of little boys shown in color books, until the day they walk out of our university with long, shaggy hair and against America, there's a system that is dedicated to the destruction of your kids. Now then, at First Baptist Church, we've presented you with a choice. If your kids go to hell or go to the devil, it's your fault now. It's your fault now. When they're 2 years of age, we can start. You say, that's brainwashing. I know it is. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. A child, oh, my mother brainwashed me when she said to me, no, bad. She brainwashed me. The liquor was bad, and I thank God she did. They're your kids. And I've tried every way I know how. Tonight, as I walked over, I walked by the nursery. And I looked in the faces of those little boys and girls over there in the nursery. And here's the prayer I pray. Dear God, may their parents help me save their lives. May their parents help me. Would you please, quickly now, don't know this. We are having a service, most important time of the service. Not the time to do that. Folks looking at you, and here we are trying to save the lives of people. I wish our folks understand the importance of this. I wish you'd get the idea. Good night in the morning. Nothing but nothing is it's the only hope our kids have. I wish God would shake your heart. I wish some of you moms and dads not willing to pay $50 a month for your kid to be trained the way you ought to be trained. I wish God would speak to your heart tonight. I'm not going to preach another sermon like this. In fact, I'm not going to until school starts. I'm not going to do it anymore. Turn me up just a trifle, please. I'm not going to do it anymore. In fact, after tonight, I'm not going to try. I'm just, if getting on my knees would help, I'd get on my knees. I'm talking to you as your pastor tonight. I'm talking to you on behalf of your kids. I'd take my shoes off and bow and scrape. I'll take my coat off and walk on it. I'll go a step further. If you don't believe it, you try me. You get me a spike board and put it up here, and I'll lay down on it. If you'll help me save your kids. You get me some hot coals tonight, and you put them down and say, Pastor, you walk on those, and I'll believe you.